for a reason. It's called a battle for a reason because it's strong and it wants to take you and it wants to control you and it wants to guide your life rather than have Christ guide your life. But there isn't anyone here that hasn't experienced temptation. Even Jesus experienced temptation. You know the story of Jesus in the desert when he was tempted by the devil. He came through it with no scars, with no failures, and succeeded in his overcoming of temptation. That tells us that you and I can overcome temptation also, that there is a way for us to overcome temptation. I'm reminded of the story of a young boy who went to school every morning, and every morning there was a bully there that would demand his lunch money. And of course, he was a small guy and couldn't really fight back, and so he decided discretion is the better part of valor and just gave him his lunch money every morning. And finally, he had enough and he got sick of it, and he decided to enroll in karate classes, and he was going to fight back finally and demand his rights and make sure that this guy didn't take his money any longer. So he went to the karate class, and he found out that it was $5 a lesson, and there was a minimum of 10 lessons before he could get his degree in karateology. I just made that up, could you tell? Well, he did a little bit quick math, and he found out that he was losing only a dollar a day to the bully, and it was $50 for the karate lesson, so he decided it was better just to give the dollar a day to the bully and gave in to it that way. You know, that's the way a lot of Christians really approach temptation also. They see that it's a struggle. They see that it's almost overwhelming. They see that it takes a lot of courage and a lot of energy to fight temptation, and they decide that it's almost easier just to give in and just let it have its way with us. But the Bible has something very specific to say about temptation. Turn to James chapter 1 in your Bible. If you have an electronic Bible, turn to it in there. If you have a real paper Bible, you know those paper Bibles that they made long ago, far away, turn to it in there. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 gives us some instruction on how to overcome temptation, how to beat temptation in our lives, winning over temptation. It says this: God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me," for God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The writer here, James, is giving us a process by which to overcome temptation in our life. We live in a culture that believes that temptation is something that is inevitable and that is almost impossible to give it, to fight, to battle. And so we live in a culture that surrounds us with all of these messages of giving in and just letting temptation have its way with us. But God says that temptation is a battle that's to be fought. We're going to talk about that a little bit more after we look at James chapter 1. But it says in verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. There's a couple of words I want to draw your attention to, and it's patience, patiently endure testing and temptation. Patiently endure testing and temptation. It's telling us that there is a time and a place for us to just kind of plant our feet firmly and say, "I'm not going to give in to that temptation." Temptation always starts in the mind. It always starts in the heart, and it works its way into our mind and our spirit and draws our attention away from the things of God and to the things that please us and want us to be pleased, that want to be satisfied in our life. I read an interesting article as I was studying for this message, and it was by a Dr. Eileen Cohen in Psychology Today. It's not a biblical basis, but I think it has some insight for us. She says, our culture norms encourage us to seek band-aid solutions and temporary comforts basically whatever it takes to relieve our discomfort now. That's what temptation does. It says you can just give in and be over this thing and just kind of have your pleasure now and have your enjoyment now, and then I'll leave you alone. If I can just get past this minute, it'll be all right. She goes on and she says, this is apparent in the prevalence of casinos, get-rich-quick schemes in our culture. Some people don't see the value in having patience during difficult times or working towards our goal. They want to lose weight now and would rather buy the latest, greatest cell phone than save for retirement. We often make our life choices according to how we can avoid pain in the moment, and in doing so, fail to see the path of delayed gratification is sometimes where the real solution to our problems lie. In this verse, God talks exactly about that. He says, get away from the pleasures of the moment and enjoy the blessings of that delayed gratification. One of the things we've got to learn is that delayed gratification is a good thing in our lives. We want it all now. We want to have that pleasure now. But God says, wait, because it says there is a crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. There's eternal life that waits for us on the other side of the suffering and on the other side of the temptation that we're experiencing now. We need to remember that God has given us that way out. And then it says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me, for God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone. This is a call to personal responsibility. We always seek to blame somebody else or something else for our bad behavior. If she hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have snapped at her. If he hadn't have done that, it's just somebody else's fault. I didn't get what I want, and if they'd have only done something different, then I would have had a better reason for living. But God says, don't blame God for your temptation. God must have done this to me. God didn't do that to you. It's a constant effort to blame others for our troubles when we simply look in the mirror will suffice us in seeing where the root of our temptation comes. And it says that in the next verse. It says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. We've got to learn that temptation comes from the inside. It's not an outside job, it's an inside job. We see things that appeal to us and we want them and we allow them to entice us. And pretty soon we're dragged away into sin because we gave in to temptation. It says, these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The end result of giving in to temptation is always death. It's a spiritual death, and in the end, it's a physical death. That's one of the reasons we're all going to die one day, is because of sin. Sin is deadly. And the physical death that we experience is God's warning about the spiritual death that is possible if we continue on in the ways that we're going. God wants us to live eternally. That's why there's a promise in the Scriptures that those who die in Christ will not stay dead, but we will rise again and we'll be with Him for all eternity. That's the hope that we have. That's the way God wants it to be. And physical death is that reminder that sin always exacts the price. It always has its payment due. And then it says, oops, that's the end of it. My machine isn't working correctly, sorry. To make a mess, you really need a computer to do it nowadays, don't you? There we go. Now I'm back in place where I should be. So what is the key to overcoming temptation? Well, I'm going to suggest three different things that we need to keep in mind in order to overcome temptation. And number one is, war is a normal state of affairs in this life. We are going to be battling for all of our lifetime. We are always going to be battling sin and temptation in this life. It is a normal state of affairs. I know it's tiring. I know that it gets old. I know that we wish that there was a day coming when sin would be no more, when temptation would be no more. That is coming, but not in this life. And as long as you're drawing breath, you are going to be in a battle with your flesh, with the spirit world, to tempt you to do things that God doesn't want you to do. And one of the things that you need to do is to consider your heart before God came into your life. Consider the state of your heart before God came and delivered you and set you free and forgave all of your sins and made you a new creation in Him. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power of this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our spiritual nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Remember those days before you came to Christ, what life was like, how you were a slave to sin. If you can remember that, it will give you a foothold to fight the battle. You don't want to be enslaved again. The whole book of Colossians and Galatians, Paul is writing and saying, listen, remember those days when you were outside of the grace of God. Remember those days when you were enslaved to sin. And by the way, sin does enslave. There comes a point where you don't even have a choice of sinning anymore, because it controls you, and the only thing that can break through and set you free is the power of Jesus Christ that can deliver you from that sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're out of control. You'd like to stop doing some of the things that you're doing, but the temptation is just too great. You have become a slave to sin. You no longer rule your life, but sin rules you. And if you could rule your life, you would, but you can't. So you need somebody that's more powerful than sin to come into your life, to take it over, and to drive out the sin that's there. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I just feel like I'm talking to somebody here this morning that maybe you've been trying for a long time to overcome this stuff in your life, whether it's pornography or alcohol or something like that, that just is kind of controlling you, and you've tried in your own power to do it and you've discovered that you can't. I want you to know that Jesus is here this morning to set you free, to give you that victory that you need. In Titus 3:3, it says, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other." Maybe that's describing you this morning. I don't know. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." I want you to know the Bible talks about something called faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen. It's something that you can't really understand. Maybe that's what's been holding you back from receiving Christ in the past, is you can't understand how one man's sacrifice could forgive all of your sins, how someone could love you so much that they came to die for you. It doesn't make sense to you. That's okay. It doesn't have to make sense to you to be true. It is true. And all you have to do is receive it and believe it this morning, and the Holy Spirit will make you aware of that. The second thing I want you to remember about war as a normal state of mind, a normal state of affairs, is to remember that the Holy Spirit is at war with sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is at war with sin in your life. It says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Do you realize there are two natures at fighting at your in your mind and in your spirit right now? There's the spirit of sin and there's the Holy Spirit that's there. There's a constant battle that's going on between the two of them. And you need to decide which one you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to the spirit of this world that says, just give in to it, do what it feels good. You know, your body was made for pleasure, so just enjoy it. If God didn't make us that way, He wouldn't have expected us to indulge in it. Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness? It says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. There's a battle that's going on in your heart. There's a battle between good and evil, and the Holy Spirit is on your side. Don't be surprised by the battle as the Holy Spirit digs through those layers of sin in your life and begins to expose them and show them to you for what they really are. That guilt that you feel in your life is a gift from God. It's a gift from God that shows you what His Spirit is saying and driving you in the other direction so that you can be free from that bondage that you're in right now. And so he says to us, let him do that. J.C. Ryle's, a great Christian theologian, said this: war is natural and essential. We are evidently no friend of Satan. Like kings of this world, he wars not against his own subject. The very fact that he assaults us should fill our minds with hope. It comes as no surprise for me to say God loves you. You hear it all the time. God is love. God loves you. Jesus loves you. That's a truism. But just as true is the opposite of that, which is the devil hates you. He wants to see you destroyed. Why? Because you were created in the image of God. Remember it says in the Bible that we are created in the image of God? Every time he looks at you, he's reminded of God himself. And he hates God, so he hates you, so he wants to destroy you. That's where the battle lies. It lies in that tension between good and evil. The Holy Spirit is at war with sin in your life. He's not at war with you. He's at war with sin in your life. The enemy is at war with you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to see you dragged down. He wants to see you depressed. He wants to see you in panics. He wants to see you in situations where you don't know what to do. That's his stock and trade. The Holy Spirit, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, contentment, all of those good things that God has for us. Galatians 5:16-17 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and then you won't be able to do what the Holy Spirit, what sin wants us to do." The Holy Spirit in John 16:8, it says, "When he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment." The Holy Spirit's job is to point out sin in your life and say, "This right here, this is sin. This is what's against God. This is what's holding you back. This is what's preventing you from being everything that God wants you to be." And he convicts us of sin because he loves us and because he cares for us. Matthew 26:41 says, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." That's a condition of our hearts right now, right here, today. If the Holy Spirit were not there, we would be in deep, deep trouble because we would give in so much more to the sins around us. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is there to convict us of sin. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a loving thing. Number two. The war is a normal state of affairs. Number one, the war is a normal state of affairs. You can expect to be fighting all of your life against sin. You might as well get used to it. Number two, the war is winnable. The war is winnable. It says because God gave us a number of promises in His Word that tells us that the war is going to be winnable. In Matthew 28:20, He says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is always with us, even to the end of the age. He sends His Spirit to be with us and to guide us and to lead us. And He has promised that He will always be with us in every battle. Jesus is there. Take advantage of that. Cry out to Him. Let Him know exactly what you're going through. He already knows, but He likes to hear it from you. And ask Him for help. He's promised to uphold us. In Isaiah 41:10, He says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I love the imagery of that piece of Scripture. He says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, don't be intimidated, don't let the enemy come against you. Because, why? Because I am with you. God is with you all the time. Even when you don't feel His presence, His Word says He's there, so He's there. He is with us at all times. And then it says, He will purify you completely. I want you to catch this. This is important. He's going to purify you completely. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24. He says, "May the God of peace make himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. God, who called you to become His child, will do all this for you, just as He promised." May the God of peace make you entirely pure and devoted to God. The war is winnable because God is in the business of purifying and cleansing you from sin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The devil wants you to sin. The enemy wants you to fail. He wants you to fall. And so he throws everything he's got at you. And he knows your weakest points. He knows where you're most vulnerable. And he attacks those areas every time. And the Holy Spirit is there waiting for you to call out to him, because his job is to make you pure and entirely pure and devoted to God. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept strong and blameless. It's not God's intention that you live weak, blame-filled lives before Him. He wants you to be strong and blameless in Him. Number three, there will come a day when the war is over. There is an end to this war that is against us. Excuse me. Would you get me a water, please? Thank you. It says in 1 Peter 5:10-11, "In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while," we're all going to suffer in this life with temptation and sin. Thank you. Can you open that for me? I got this thing in my hand. Thank you. Would you pour it down my... No. Because he'd do it too, I know. It says, "So after you have suffered a little while," we're all going to suffer in this life, it says, "He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation." There is coming a time when restoration will be yours, when firmness will be yours, when support will be yours. You'll be standing on a strong foundation, and the battle will be over and the battle will be won. That's our promise from God Himself. In Colossians 2:13-15, it says, "You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross." Some of you wear necklaces with crosses on it. It's become kind of a thing, I guess, and a lot of people don't stop to think about it. But if you have a necklace with a cross, every time you look at that, you should remember, victory is mine. Victory is mine because of the cross. Jesus Christ nailed my evil desires and my evil thoughts to the cross, made them a public spectacle, and gave me freedom through Jesus Christ's shed blood. That's what we mean when we talk about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard that phrase over and over again. It's just been a little gory to you. But the Bible says that His shed blood covered our sins, washed them away, so that we can no longer labor under the burden of our sins. That's the freedom that we have. That's why the blood is so precious. That's why you should be in communion service tonight, because we're going to celebrate and remember the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to take communion together and glorify God together for a victory over our sins. That's what it's all about. In Micah 7:19, it says, "Once again you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean." Romans 16:20, "May the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." God has the victory. And one day that victory is going to be complete. We see pieces of bits and pieces of it in this world today. When you cry out to Christ, you are completely forgiven of all of your sins and you're given the strength to come up against those sins. But there's going to come a day when death, hell, and the grave are thrown into the pit and they can't have their way with us anymore and we'll be completely free. That day is coming and it's ours in the future. Remind yourself that all temptation is able to be overcome. Don't give in to the lie that says, well, it's just too much for me. I had to give in to it. I couldn't help myself. That's not true. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experienced. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Don't fall for the lie that temptation, giving into temptation is inevitable, that you couldn't help yourself. There's always a way out. There's always a way for freedom through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're facing temptation this morning, and God has been dealing with you about it. I want you to know there's freedom in Jesus Christ, that He can set you free. The Holy Spirit is here this morning to help you. In just a few moments, we're going to close. I'd like the worship team to come back now. But we're going to close in just a few minutes, and when we do, you're going to be given an opportunity to come up to this altar, and I want to pray for you and ask God to help you in a time of temptation. You don't have to tell me what the temptation is or anything like that. I just want to be there to pray for you and to give you hope that God will see you through that time of temptation. And this is a powerful moment for us. If you want to be free, I want you to come forward and to give your life to Christ and to give your heart to Him and to let Him do that work that needs to be done in it. One of the things about temptation is we stand alone in it too often. We don't tell others that we're in moments of temptation, and we stand alone and we fight our battles alone when the Bible tells us to pray for each other. That we should all pray for each other. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forward. There are some of my deacons that are going to come and be waiting here for you to pray with you. And we're going to pray that God will help you overcome that temptation. Would you stand with me, please? Right now, as the worship team begins singing this song, I just want